Good to see you. Not sure what you think sitting from that direction. You got me today, but that's okay. It's good to end the new year together. As we think about tomorrow on New Year's Eve and anticipating what lies ahead, we pray for our leader. Pastor Jim and Sherry both kind of caught the bug and not feeling well at all. Sherry had been running a fever and they're just needed to take a break and be at home. And so that's why Jim is not with us today. And we pray for them and all those on our prayer list. The prayer list on your bulletin, it's growing a little bit. You know, it's getting bigger when you have to shrink the font in order for it to fit in the bulletin. So we're mindful of all those, not only on the prayer focus, but on the right-hand side. Those that are on the care center. If you feel so led, the care center, been there many times already myself. There's nothing stopping you from to go find these people and just wish them a good day. And the care center is very gracious with showing you where their room is, so they would appreciate it maybe if you could brighten their day with a visit. I'm sure they'd be quite surprised. It's very nice. So we look at that. We pray for the new year or the new leadership coming our way with the votes and with the annual meeting. So let's spend a time in prayer, and then we'll get on with our message today from the book of Mark. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this time that gives us a moment to stop and just come together. Sometimes we don't see each other until Sunday. It always is wonderful because we share something in common, and that is your son Jesus, who came not only as a baby, but as a human being, both God and man. You came to relate to us. So you do know what it's like to be in this flesh, to experience the world, the growing pains, the rejection, the cruelness of the cross and the death that you experienced through the obedience of your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Father, we are grateful for your love for us as we learn about that today. For we do give you thanks for such a wonderful plan, for making it clear and to know exactly what it is we need to do to accept the gift that you give to us, salvation by your grace, through our faith in Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for Jim and Sherry, our leadership of this church, our pastors, and we praise you for their undying effort that has been these last 17 years of leadership. Bless them, keep them, heal them, give them strength as they recover from this bug, from this illness, that they will find rest and healing, and that they will be back to join us again next week. For those on our prayer list, for their many needs, for the anxiousness of things that challenge our country, our government, give wisdom to our leaders, that they may make sound decisions that are within keeping of your instructions of your word. For the coming new year, we pray for a blessing to start it correctly and to seek your face and to work to do your will as we strive and move forward, not only in our own life, but the lives of our children and grandchildren, for our future, for the hope that we have through Christ Jesus, in whose name we ask and pray. Amen. In regards to the message, the thing that came to my mind was, as many airmen and sailors, Marines that I've counseled as a chaplain along the journey, one of the biggest trends was the recruiter lied to me. If you've ever been in the military, because the recruiters have something to sell, and I think that's one thing that is hard in life is when you take part in something that sounds so good and then find out after the fact that it's not all that it was cracked up to be, because there's a lot more to it than when you first heard about it. So that's what I appreciate about the Bible, and I think that's what makes the Bible and God's Word rather offensive to the unsaved, is because God's not that way. He's very clear, and he's to the point, tells you exactly the way it's supposed to be, and some people just don't like it because they want to they want to cut a deal with God, and they want to do it a little different. But God's very clear. There's no gray. There's no middle. It's yay or it's nay, one side or the other. And that's what we learned today in the book of Mark. I wanted to springboard off of Pastor Jim's last few messages. As you know, he's with us with why come as a baby, why the shepherds, and why the wise men. A lot of why, a lot of questioning. Well, it's because of God's plan to bring Christ into this world. And Christ came into this world to give us the plan that Christ is the way of salvation. He is the one to the Father. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Nobody can come to the Father except through me. So we're going to learn that the time has come. Jesus' point, his whole point of coming, was to deliver this message. So the reason I chose this today was just out of curiosity of all that Jim has taught us in the last several weeks. The first thing that came to mind was, okay, what's the first book ever written in the Gospels? Well, Mark, although he comes second in the Bible, he was the first gospel. So what was the first written, recorded words of Christ in this first gospel? Well, that's what we're talking about today, and it's in Mark chapter 1. Just two verses. Mark writes in verses 14 and 15. I want to read from the New International Version. It kind of gets it to the point. And this is coming off the story of John the Baptist. It says, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. So with that, the first thing I thought of was planning for the future. Here's Jesus, and he is getting started. His first recorded words was for us to plan for the future. And that's a good thing, don't you think? We do it all the time. We've made major decisions. You've got to plan out the future. Where am I going to go to college? Should I join the military? What type of career am I looking for? Will I get married? Should I have children? But we also make those big ones too, like which house to buy and what town to live in and what type of things we should do as far as our future. But then we also make the little routine ones, like where we're going to celebrate Christmas this year and how are we going to celebrate birthdays and anniversaries. There's also where we're going to go on vacation. And then the little day-to-day things, like going to the store and picking out what type of food we're going to buy or what type of cereal for breakfast, if you're like me. So it's just, there's good things we can do to make plans for the future. We want our future to be successful. We want to reach our goals. We do indeed want to see the desires that we have come to fulfillment. We want to be successful. But if we're honest, though, however, the goals that we want, the goals that we make, they tend to be more lifetime goals while we're here on this earth. Now, yes, they are good plans, but plans that, let's just be honest, they don't normally include eternity. What happens after this earthly life is over? A lot of our goals are while we're alive here. But as we quickly have learned from James chapter 4, verse 14, it says, yet you do not know what tomorrow even brings. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears just for a little time and then vanishes. Life is short. Years go by quickly. It's just a reminder that despite the importance of investing in the here and now, it's important. Yes, having a good place to live, a job, taking care of our family, getting an education, doing well, that's important. But it's even more critical to make plans now for what happens when God calls us home upon our death. We should be, even at this Christmas season, asking, are we ready for our spiritual future? Just like we make plans annually and for anniversaries, where we're going to live, marriages and all that, have you made those plans for eternity? Now, you might be thinking, well, that's not a happy Christmas message. That's not even, wouldn't qualify as an end of year, happy new year message by any means. But that's the joy found in the Christmas message. The point is, Christ was born to die so that we could live. That's the whole point of the gospel, is that Christ came to earth on purpose to die so we can live eternally. The interesting thing about our life here on this earth, what I want you to take from this message, one piece, is that we can't separate earth life and eternal life. It's all existence. It's all living. Living is not just for a little part of time on this earth. It is for all eternity. Our preparation for death is what liberates us. If we are prepared for death, then we can live life to its fullest potential while here on this earth. Although, humanly speaking, we do have a natural dread of death, I wouldn't assume anybody enjoys that, but we can spiritually look forward to death. We conclude the Apostles' Creed, if you're familiar with the Apostles' Creed. We say it, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. So if we believe that, we say it in our creed, if we believe that, then we should be preparing for that. And if we're preparing for that, then we need to live now like we truly accept that and also expect that. The reality is that everyone dies. We've heard that many times, even from Billy Graham and all his crusades. We'll probably hear it again tomorrow night in the movie. We're all going to die, yet we're also, all of us are going to get eternal life. But yes, there is a little bit of a catch to that. We all get eternal life, but the catch, so to speak, is that for some, eternity is not going to be in the presence of God. There are truly two options available to us. Both of these options are determined by us, and they're determined by how we choose here on this earth. It is our choice, and it's our choice now. In eternity, I can guarantee you, if you read the Bible, no further opportunities will be afforded. You know, we're not going to meet St. Peter at the pearly gates, and he's going to say, hey, check this out, what do you think? Yeah, he's not going to, there's no more options. You're not going to get afforded any other opportunities to change your mind. Your destiny will be set, and God will just simply do nothing more than honor your earthly choice. Our scripture passage today comes from the first gospel written, the first recorded words of Jesus, who emphatically states it very quickly. And I like the message. If you're familiar with Philip Yancey and the message, this translation, he says, time's up. You know, if you ever remember your teachers in school, in a test and the timer goes off, time's up. Put them pencils down, it's over. You're done. It's done. Time's up. The kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe the good news. So what that means to me is that it puts an end to any attempts to delay the decision. It means there's no more excuses like, well, I'm just uncomfortable with this subject. Now's not a good time. How about later? Or how about a few years from now when I'm older and ready to think about it? Here Jesus is up in his game a little. He is making it very clear. He's making it unmistakable. There's no more arguments here. He's elevating the priority. Jesus, just by simply making those few words, makes the decision a right now thing. It is right now. So it was. He's making it clear he never intended your eternal choice to be a later type of decision. It's a right now thing. So Jesus is saying, we're not going to get around to it later. What's your decision? Is it yes or is it no? It's not a multiple choice question. Now, I'm not downplaying, of course, the importance. We still live an obedient, fruitful life here on this earth. As Christians, we love our earthly life. There's nothing wrong with being successful and being good on this earth, because life on this earth is a gift. And that's how we find, give thankfulness and worship to God, is by making our lives successful on this earth. I'm not downplaying that. My point is, we were made for something greater than this. This is nothing compared to what truly God has for us. We look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. The scripture's clear. God's desire is for our destiny to be united with him in heaven. His whole point is restoring you back into a unbroken, restored relationship. A restored relationship with him, where he is no longer just God, this cosmic concept way up there in heaven somewhere in the fourth hemisphere. He is here, personal, loving, intimate. He is our Father. We are his children. It's a communion. It is a relationship restored by God's grace that's come by our faith, our confession, and our repentance. It's a relationship, a loving, intimate relationship between a father and a child, one that is just so great, so intense, that for now, humanly speaking, it's beyond our comprehension. We're nothing more than aliens and strangers. That's a topic today, isn't it? Kind of a current event of aliens and illegals and all the other things coming into countries. Well, guess what? We're one of them. This is not our home. This is not our place. We are not of this world. We are here simply for a brief time, because earth is not our true home. It's not our designed destiny. As hard as it is to make this statement, it is true, but it should be for us as Christians. It should be our desire to literally tire of this world, to live with an expectation that eternity is real. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 2 through 4 tell us, we grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and we sigh. But it's not that we want to die and rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies, so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. John Wesley, who's noted as our founder of Methodism, said this of such faith. He said, quote, to believe in the Christian sense is to walk in the light of eternity and to have a clear sight of and confidence in the Most High, reconciled to me through the Son of his love. Eternity, it is, although future in nature, is for all of us, it's current events. It is current news that must be settled here and now. Jesus gave us the instructions. They're clear. They are by no means vague or confusing. They're to the point, easy to understand. He says, repent and believe the good news. So with that presented to us, it just comes down what Jim challenged us with us last week. When presented with Christ Jesus the Lord, what are you going to do with Jesus? The wise men knew what to do. The shepherds knew exactly what to do. The religious leaders, not so much. They knew what they were going to do with Jesus. What are you going to do? Jesus puts that fork in the road. You have to make your decision. So if the decision is for Christ, first he says repent. Now I think we all get an idea what that means. We all know that when we say repent, we're not just being sorry. We're not saying that we just have regrets over our sins and lifestyle. Repentance includes the word radical. Repentance brings a very radical transformation into your life. It is a change not only of heart, but of mind and of will. I like what our Free Methodist Church, our denomination, says in our Book of Discipline under our social principles regarding repentance. So I'll just read it verbatim. It says this: repentance calls for a sincere and thorough change of mind. To repent is to turn from sin with genuine sorrow and to turn to God in confession and submission. The whole person is involved: mind, feelings, will. Repentance is more than regret for wrongdoing. It is more than sorrow for being caught. It is personal sorrow that one has sinned against God. Repentance demands a radical turning from sin and a sincere turning to God. So bottom line is, this is the hard part. If your desire is eternity, going to heaven when you die, then the decision needs to be made, as Jesus said, now. It's not one of those things you kind of think about for the next couple of years. It is a decision clearly made now. And then once you make the decision, you don't turn around and just go about your daily business and go back to what you were doing. No, it's a radical change of will and of mind that says, my earthly life, the rest of my earthly life, I'm going to live what I believe, that I'm truly on my way to heaven. So the blunt reality, for me at least, repentance, accepting Christ as your Savior, you don't do that just to go to heaven. You don't do that just to stay out of going to hell. The reason for repentance and our faith is the stark, real reality that my sins, my sinfulness, has separated me from a proper relationship with God as Father. It's a realization. My sinfulness separates me from an intimate, personal, eternal relationship with the God who not only loves me, but has graciously provided this opportunity and the way to heaven through his Son Jesus. The blood of Christ makes it all possible to repair the brokenness of my relationship with God. That's why the response is so important. That's why responding in faith to a God who loves me and who is inviting me into this type of relationship that's personal, loving, and intimate and eternal, that's why it's required. That's why we need to respond. It's not an assumed. It's not automatic. It has to have a decision. And only those who respond in repentance and faith will be able to experience God's grace as a redemptive reality in their life. That's why Jesus said, you must. You must repent. There has to be change. Secondly, after you repent, there's another thing we are required to do, and that is believe the good news. The good news, we always know what that is, don't we? It's the gospel. The gospel comes from an Anglo-Saxon word, mean God's spell. It means God's story. So God's story is the fact that Jesus is truly the Christ. He is the promised Messiah. He is the one who came to usher in the new age, the new covenant between God and his people. The very gospel Jesus himself preached is what we are asked to believe. The gospel that the kingdom of God is here, it has come, it is with us, God is with us. Emmanuel, one of the songs we sing at Christmas, he is with us, he loves us, he cares for us so much that earth doesn't have to be the end, but simply transition into the beginning of a kingdom of eternity. So the gospel itself has always been understood as the joyous proclamation of God's redemptive activity in Christ Jesus on behalf of humans like us, stuck in the broken and sinfulness of this world. We all know what redemption means, don't we? We've done that before. You've ever turned something in for some money? I know down south in Iowa, you can get 5 cents. Just turn a can in of pop. You know, you turn something that you have into something of value. You get something in return that is of great value. Redeeming. It is bringing us back into a proper relationship. The thing we have to understand is that we are incapable of doing this ourselves. You'll never be able to earn it. You'll never be good enough for it. You'll be incapable of working hard enough to get it. We've heard it many times before. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. I like the New Living Translation on this one. He said, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none can boast about it. So that's why Jesus says the time is now. The time has come. God is ushering in his kingdom through Jesus Christ. It is here. The decision now has to be made. But the good news is, he's not going to make it hard. He's not going to play a game of keep away. He wants you to accept this. He makes it possible for you to have it. He will make it very easy to obtain because he wants you to have all of it. It is here, the kingdom of God, eternity. All he asks is for us to repent and to believe the good news. So as the year comes to an end, we think about resolutions and making a new start and starting over. This would be a good time for that because the question still remains. Will you make your commitment to God by accepting his son Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? If you're familiar with the Campus Crusade for Christ, one of my favorites is Bill Bright. If you're familiar with the four spiritual laws, he always started it, I think, the best of them all. He would always start out with, God has a wonderful plan for your life, and it takes you through four spiritual steps in how to obtain this eternal life that empowers the whole reason you were created in the first place. But I like spiritual law number 4 the best. He said this, quote, he said, receiving Christ involves turning to God from self, that is, from yourself, repentance. And it's trusting Christ to come into your life, to forgive your sins, and to make you what he wants you to be. Just to agree intellectually that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died on the cross for our sins, it's not enough. Nor is it enough to have an emotional experience where you receive Christ because you're all wound up and, you know, you've got on fire just because you feel the moment. We receive Jesus Christ by faith. It is an act of the will. Jesus wants you to make a decision. He could have programmed us like robots and we could have just gone through life doing everything he wants us to do. But he gives you the free will to make that choice. That's why I'll close with 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. And it says this, and this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son, does not have life. I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. God is not into tricking anybody or hoodwinking or suckering anybody into trying to make a decision because they don't want to go to hell. That's not the point. The point was Jesus wants you to know God loves you, that he loves you intimately to the point that he would send his Son to die for you so that the relationship that sin has broken can be restored and you can be back into that proper relationship the way it was supposed to have been all along before Adam and Eve basically messed everything up for the rest of us. It is truly a great and wonderful plan. That's why it's called the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So are we ready? Have we planned? Are we prepared for our spiritual future? Have we finalized our plans for eternity? As Billy Graham has said many times, if you were to die tonight, would you know exactly where you would end up this day? Jesus shows us the way. He's told us that he is the truth and the life. He's told us everything that we need to do. There's no catch. There's no little asterisk, this little policy at the bottom that you have to read the fine print. There's no tricks. It's simple, it's clear, and it's concise. Repent and believe the good news. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are glad that you do not try to trick us or throw a sucker punch into getting us to try to scare us out of hell. You present a plan to us. It was a plan that you had all along to send your Son into this world to deliver us from a brokenness that separates us from you. It is your desire. We don't have to fear whether or not this is for real. You have made it clear by sending your Son to walk this earth. Hundreds, thousands of individuals in that time of history were living witnesses to the life, death, and resurrection of your Son Jesus. We know it's true. You have given us this opportunity, but you ask for us to do it now, for we do not know what our life holds even for the end of this day. So for the time that we have, this moment we have, we ask, Heavenly Father, that if we are not sure, we know that our sinfulness, our human nature, just how we are in this fallen world, it has created a large cavern between you and us as sinful people. And we confess that sin today and ask that your Son Jesus would forgive us and repair that broken relationship, that we from this moment on can be saved and our eternal destiny secured, that we may from this day forward begin to live eternally in the presence of God with the Spirit upon us and Christ in our heart, moving forward to learn, to grow, and to strengthen, to fulfill God's will for us, the whole reason we were put here in the first place, to give him glory and to bring others into the kingdom as well. Help us to share in this great message. Help us, Father, to surrender, to repent, and to believe this good news, this great news, this awesome news that Jesus did indeed love us enough to die for us. We accept it in Jesus' name. Amen.